First verse, cry out with joy to Yahweh, all the earth. So it's a psalm. The psalmist, as I read it, is overwhelmed with a joy beyond words, and I offer you these comparisons from the New Testament. A very beautiful statement by the first in the first letter of Peter, speaking about Jesus now, Yahweh incarnate, the one who God was in the world reconciling himself to us through Christ, says Paul. So, although, says Peter, you have not seen him, writing to second generation Christians, although you have not seen him, yet you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. The Jewish Peter, picking up something I think of Psalm 100, is filled with joy now at the Jesus who shows us who God is, as Yahweh incarnate. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. And in the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. One of our loveliest teachings of our faith that comes into the Apostles' Creed is the communion of saints. Saints meaning those in whom God dwells. Those, whether we're still alive, whether we've died and are being purified, or whether we're in the glory of heaven, we're all a family and there's a communion between us all that's never broken. So those in heaven are praying for us, we're praying for those who've died, the ones who died are praying for us. It's the communion as we have here. Well, we're sharing with the saints in this light. Verse 2. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come into his presence singing for joy. Clearly, you've got a hymn being sung as they enter the temple. The presence of God, of course, is in the Holy of Holies in the temple. So here of the crowd coming into the temple joyously, come into his presence singing for joy. My comment, this service is willingly offered by those who find freedom in the love of their Lord. Isaiah 56, I will bring them to my holy mountain. I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Same theme. And Romans, Paul, chapter 12, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope. And the psalm continues. It's a very simple but very joyful psalm. Know that Yahweh is God. Now, whenever you read Yahweh, please let me remind you, you're always thinking of the God of Moses, the God of the Exodus. That's a historical word. It's a name for God who acted in history in the Exodus. And that's always in your mind whenever you, in English, we might say the Lord, if you prefer that, or Yahweh. That's what you're always referring to, the God who brought us out of Egypt and took us to the promised land. So know that this God, who acted in our history through Moses, etc., he is God. He made us. We belong to him. A beautiful sense in this psalm of belonging to this God. So I'll comment for the rest of the page on different texts that perhaps draw that out for you. Our belonging to God. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7 reads, you will be my people, and I will be your God. And that must be repeated 20 times throughout the Torah. You will be my people. It's the covenant, and I will be your God. Malachi, the prophet, one of the last of the prophets. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? And Isaiah chapter 29, shall the thing made say to its maker, he did not make me? We're all moulded, brought into existence, breathed into life, held in existence by this God, the source of everything. In Psalm 95, which we did just before the break, let us kneel before Yahweh our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Obvious image of God hand feeding the sheep. The sheep of his hand. The next text from the Acts needs a bit of, it's quite interesting, Acts 17 verse 26. If you were to look up the New Revised Standard Version, for example, and in many versions, it reads, from one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, seeming to refer to Adam, if in the myth of Adam. We all come from the one ancestor. However, the Greek of the Acts of the Apostles just has from one. The word ancestor is introduced in the English text to clarify it, but it may be obscuring it. It's not unlikely that what's being said here in Acts 17 is that from one, meaning from one source, God. Not actually referring to the human Adam. So I've introduced a question mark there so that you'll realise the text is not as clear as it might be in English, and it might be referring to a different, from one, we're all coming from the one source, of God. And this beautiful statement from it, Ephesians 2:10, so believe it, we are God's work of art. The Greek is poema, poem. It's a work of art. So we are God's poem, God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus for good works. In other words, to do good things, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. God prepared beforehand, always, please remember, this beforehand is a human word. We've got to use time words because we can't use any other because of the way we're hardwired in our imagination. You know, predestination, you've heard that. So, but predestination has nothing to do with time priority. There's no time in God. It's ontological priority. What it's saying is that who we are is primarily, we have to look to God, the source of everything, if we want to see who we are to be, what we are to do. God is the initiator. We're the receivers and the responders. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. So the pre is not a long time of go. God determined something and then we're kind of running along a line that's been prepared. No, it means that everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, everything we create has a priority from the heart and will of God. So we're the receivers and the responders to this. It's not temporal priority. So God prepared beforehand, meaning before we make any decisions, there's a grace present. Everything is graced, and we want to look to the grace and conform our actions and our decisions and our thoughts and our priorities to the grace that's being welcomed by us. So back to the text. Simply, Yahweh is our God. We belong to him. He made us. We are his people, the sheep of his fold. And you might recall Jesus. Well, we'll have a look. I am the good shepherd, said Jesus. I am the good shepherd. I am I should have checked the Greek before I say this, but I'm pretty sure without being sure, so accept this as a bit hesitant. There are many times in the John's Gospel where I am is ego eimi. And then in the Good Shepherd, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection, the life. I'm just for the moment uncertain, I haven't got my Greek with me, whether this is one of the occasions. But if it is, the I am is always Yahweh, see? I am is Exodus chapter 3, Yahweh. I am Ho'on, I am the one. Well, I am the Good Shepherd. Jesus is speaking of Yahweh present in him, shepherding his flock. I know my own, said Jesus, picking up the verse here beautifully, and my own know me. No, do I need to remind you in the Jewish scriptures always is knowing by communion, knowing in love, knowing by being with, not knowing about. So, I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And here's the dream of Jesus, the universal dream. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice, so there'll be one flock and one shepherd, that they may be one, is the dream and desire of God. Of course, the whole human race could be, please God, will be one. We are his people, the sheep of his fold. Then back to the psalm. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. They're coming through the gates on the wall of the temple compound. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Praise God. Bless his name. For Yahweh is good. His kindness, here it is again, chesed, his covenant love, sometimes translated, steadfast love, simply his kindness, endures forever. His faithfulness, emet, chesed, emet, often in the Bible, his faithfulness from generation to generation. And a small comment from the prophet Micah, you will show faithfulness to Jacob and unswerving loyalty to Abraham, as you have sworn to our ancestors from the days of old. Faithfulness and unswerving loyalty. Yahweh is good. And you might recall the remark made by the rich young man, wasn't it? He said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, hold it. Don't call me good. There's only one good, God alone. Which is an important statement about Jesus' self-understanding, of course, and a very important statement when we think, who is Jesus? The big question, a mysterious question. But whatever it is, Jesus was the one who received everything from God and was very careful that people didn't direct their attention to him. But I am the way, he said. He directed them to the one he called God. 1 Peter, if you've tasted, he says to the people, that Yahweh is good.